The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome again to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you, and another spectacular show headed your way, so get comfortable. We, of course, have Frank Bassett with us, as always. We'll get to Frank here in just a second. He's in our Nashville studios after being on the road most of last week in French Lick, Indiana, at the French Lick Resort. Had a great time there last week. We've got Earl Forsey coming up in just a little bit. He, of course, the voice of PGA Tour Radio, does most of the play-by-play for the tournaments on the PGA Tour Radio Network, and that, of course, means the Barclays will be next in his radar and next on everybody's radar as the FedEx Cup playoffs are finally here. It all starts with the Barclays at Bethpage Black coming up this weekend in Farmingdale, New York, one of the tougher courses these guys have to play. And so we'll talk with Earl about the FedEx Cup playoffs just ahead. And also Laura Brina, a good friend of the show's, who is an entertainer, a singer out of Los Angeles, also a radio personality. She'll be joining us in just a little bit to let us know her latest adventure and venture. It's a That's America to Me. She does an awful lot of stuff with our troops and the military. And Laura will tell us what's coming up for her in just a little bit, as I think we should always keep our military in our thoughts. And they're over there doing stuff, and it seems like we don't pay attention until something maybe tragic happens. But Laura's on top of it. She's our correspondent from the front lines, if you will. And we'll be talking to Laura here in just a little bit. As I mentioned, Frank Bassett off the road from French Lake, Indiana, back in Nashville. So he feels back at home. But if you're keeping up with this, and I'm sure you are, it's like a telenovela here on Golf Talk America. The life of Frank Bassett, kicked out of his house, living under a bridge in a refrigerator box from Maytag. Have you found residence yet, Frank? Are you dry? Are you healthy?
Hey, Maytag would be a move up. It's Kenmore. Come on. It's bad. Yeah, we are. We're just interim right now, getting ready to remodel a home up on the lake. And, yeah, just, wow. It's living out of boxes is kind of crazy. But I'm used to that because I'm on the road so much. So just got back from French Lick, as you said.
And enjoyed it. Had a great time in French Lick. Oh, Brendan Sweeney, our good friend, French Lick Resort.
Always, and all the folks from Cook Group out of Bloomington, Indiana, that actually own the French Lick Resort. Steve Ferguson, who's their CEO, chairman and CEO. Great time. Great food. Great tournament. Great golf course. I can't say enough about French Lick. And it's just, they're so good to us, and we have so much fun up there. It's like stepping back into the 20s, man. It's just great. So, there.
By the way, speaking of your home renovations, I'm going to be undergoing a similar at my house, not a new house that you're doing, but at my house, you know, my wife has some plans, and I agree with them. I'm not saying it's all on her, but we're going to redo the kitchen. I think two bedrooms. I mean, you know, you just kind of, your eyes start to roll as you're going, here we go. You know,
get out the checkbook, baby.
Because as soon as you start talking to your contractor, who's a good guy, and he's done some work for us before when we first moved in this house about 3 years ago. Anyway, you know, it never, ever, ever is what it is supposed to be. Well, it's going to take this long. Okay, double that. It's going to cost this much. Okay, triple that. It's like it's always something. So I'm getting ready for it. So I'll be talking to you probably in a cloud of dust here in the next 2 or 3 months.
So two or three words for you here. Viking, Wolf, Gen Air, Sub-Zero. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, my wife is frugal in the sense of when we first moved in, we bought our refrigerator, and it doesn't fit exactly like it's supposed to because it wasn't going to because the kitchen hasn't been redone yet. But so we have our refrigerator, which I'm thrilled with. We just got a brand new dishwasher. We have a range that she found a great deal. So when she finds a deal, she buys the stuff. And so now we have,
That's good.
In a closet off our bedroom, we have a range in a box. That's just, the guys moved it in. They're like, where would you like this? I go, how about my bedroom? And the guy looks at me like, really? You'll be cooking in your bedroom? I go, no, you can't understand. Just put it in there. So she found a deal.
Sounds like
so we've got a lot of fixtures. I mean, a lot of appliances. They just come randomly, you know, in the last 6 months. Yeah.
It sounds like Breaking Bad. You're going to be cooking in your bedroom?
I mean, what? I will be, yeah. I got a little meth lab going to my bedroom. So, yeah, it's going to be
summer kitchen.
So I think we've got most of the stuff. Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier, and coming in now to the playoffs is pretty exciting, especially when you look at coming in to are the statistical leaders coming into the FedEx playoffs right now, scoring average. Who would think who has the best scoring average coming into the playoffs at 69.192 is Phil Mickelson.
That's a
Phil
surprise.
Phil Mickelson has the scoring average. It is a surprise. Yeah. And the greens in regulation stat. Lucas Glover, 71.83.
I mean, you would think that would mean a lot more success for Lucas Glover, wouldn't you? I mean,
leading that stat should
put you higher up, I think, in the money list and everything else than Lucas Glover's. And Phil hasn't had a bad year. We know that he almost, and probably in a lot of years would have won the Open Championship. So he hasn't had a bad year or bad season. It's just, you know, Phil hasn't really closed the deal so far. But yeah, not totally surprising, I guess. But I am surprised that he's leading that. We talked on the show on Monday with Troy Van Beesen, who's a trainer for a lot of guys in the PGA Tour, and he's at the Barclays right now. And we're talking about Jordan Spieth, and it's just funny how we haven't brought up names like Spieth and Day and Rory. It seems like in like 5 or 6 weeks, it hasn't been that long, but it seems like these guys have had a long delay. I'm excited to see the big boys back in action. Dustin Johnson, the guys we haven't seen almost since the PGA Championship. It's kind of good to see them back in action. So I'm excited about
it. It is. And DJ, by the way, DJ's runner-up in scoring average is 69.228. So that's tight between Phil and DJ. And Russell Knox is runner-up in greens and regulation. Russell Knox at 70.47% of the greens.
And, is DJ leading
Seymour putter, you know? Oh, boy.
Yes.
So he's a putter. Yeah.
Is DJ leading in driving?
In driving distance? Guess what?
You got your stats right
313,
there?
313.9. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look at the stats right here in front of me. But driving accuracy, and we were joking about this, and nothing. We love Colton Ost. He's a great guy.
Sure.
But he hits 73.97% of his fairways. So, of course, it's 250 yards, but
he readily admits that. I mean, you know, I've known Colt for a long, long time here in Dallas, and he readily admits that he's never been a long driver. But he's one of those guys. You could probably compare him to a guy that grew up in the same golf course, Royal Oaks in Dallas, Justin Leonard back in the day. You know, hit marshmallows off the tee, but he knew how to hit a 3-iron and a 4-iron when the other guys were hitting 7-irons, and he'd still stick it 20 feet, make his putt, and he'd look at you going, "Hey, how about that big drive of yours?" You'd walk away going, "Well, how the heck's that little guy beat me all the time?"
Well, here's the big number. The most top 10 finishes going into the FedEx Cup playoffs is held by Dustin Johnson with 12. Runner-up Jason Day, Patrick Reed, and Matt Kuchar with 9. Matt Kuchar, who I say needs to be on the Ryder Cup team. So
might be. It's not
Cooch.
You brought up another little stat. First PGA Tour player to break the gavel at the exchange.
Yeah.
What did Patrick Reed
did
do yesterday?
You see
what
this?
Happened there?
Did you?
I didn't
okay,
see
so
it.
He's,
you told me
he's
about no.
He's invited to gavel in the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange, that historic big gavel, and they always wrap it 3 times. Well, he goes, whap, whap. And the head of the gavel goes flying off. Nobody got hurt. But what was so funny is Scratch TV put it up on Twitter with Shot Link. I mean, showed the art.
Showed the trajectory of the gavel. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, but he breaks that historic gavel. Come on, Patrick. Jeez.
So I guess he was there representing the tour because the FedEx Cup playoffs?
Yeah.
Is that the whole point of him being
FedEx
there
Cup.
In New York?
Yeah,
okay.
FedEx Cup playoffs. Yeah. They had the big FedEx Cup.
I was wondering
Cup
if he had a new public company coming out or something.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think so. No.
I don't think we're going to see Phil. Remember Phil and his problems with the SEC. I don't think we're going to see Phil do the opening bell any day soon, are we? And the FedEx, I don't think so. I do not think
so. Don't go there. No, we won't for sure.
By the way,
that's too funny.
Before we take a break here, we have Earl Forsey coming on with us. We will be here at Golf Talk America. Obviously, your source for all kinds of things that are going on for the FedEx Cup playoffs, including we will be at round 3. Am I right on this one, Frank? We'll be up in Indiana, outside of Indianapolis. Yeah, that's coming up in a few weeks.
Live from the clubhouse.
You're looking forward to that,
aren't you? Oh, yeah, can't wait. Live from the clubhouse. And then we've been invited the next week, which is the off week between the BMW and the week off and the Tour Championship. We've been invited to Luke Donald's wine tasting and dinner on that Sunday night, Tuesday of the following week, the 12th, I believe, is Monday. So we'll be live there at Medina, live from the clubhouse in Medina.
Nice.
That's going to be cool.
All benefiting First Tee of Chicago, correct, for Luke Donald?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. First Tee of Chicago.
Very nice.
Very cool. So we'll have Luke on and a lot of people on the show. There'll be a lot of heavy hitters from the PGA Tour administration, as well as players and celebrities and business people that'll be there. It's a big event in Chicago, as you well know, since you're from that area.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very excited about
that. So that'd be fun.
Hey, you know what? The heck with taking a break, because I'm anxious to talk to Earl, and Earl's a busy, busy guy. So let's just get right into Earl. You want to do that, Frank?
Sure.
Sure.
Go do it. Yeah.
All right. Joining us now, a man about town, Mr. Debonair, Mr. Washington, D.C. himself, Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, joins us. Earl, was that a good enough intro for you?
It was good. I lived in Chicago for a year. I worked there for a year.
Yeah, you know Chicago.
Hey.
Love Chicago.
Chicago. Arlington Heights. To work in Northbrook, so.
Sure. That's right around my old stomping ground. When you're in Washington, you've been in Washington, I'm not going to make it up here for you, but I don't know, since the first Bush administration, Reagan,
it's,
I don't know,
the,
a long
yeah,
time.
Beginning of time, yeah. No, forever, pretty much. I mean, you know, Bates out of here, but
Eisenhower.
I spent time, you know, like short stints in other places. My family, my dad's side, from Wisconsin, so my uncle was always based out of Chicago, businessman there, so I used to travel there quite a bit. It's a good town.
Do you get, when you're in D.C., do you get invited to any big soirees?
Never.
Any big political
never.
Deals? No, never, never,
you
never.
Know what? And I shouldn't say that now. No, nobody cares. But I'm used to that by now. I'm never going to be appreciated till, you know. It's like one of those, like, masterpieces, you know, maybe 100, yeah. 200 years after the fact, it'll, you know, be appreciated. But I've kind of grown used to that. But it's a whole 6 degrees of separation thing. A family member is used to have some pretty high ties, you know. I used to be able to tag along for certain things for political functions. So, yes, I have been a while back, but various gatherings, cocktail parties, that type of thing. You know, you go down to the Capitol or the, you know, one of the office buildings. So, yeah, I've had a chance to, I'm not going to say rub elbows, but, you know, be in the same room with people. And D.C. is a strange, you know, I've grown up here and lived here. D.C., you know, you get used to almost, you know, you may be walking down the street and, you know, there's a senator or so. You know, if you know people, if you recognize them, well, a lot of people wouldn't even recognize them. You know, one of the 50 most powerful people in the 100 most powerful people in the country. But, you know, you do see that, or you're in a store or something. So, you know, one day I was driving, you know, downtown going to work or something. It was years ago when Gorbachev was in town, and, you know, the Russian delegation was right in front of me. He's getting out of the car. I mean, you know. And that's when the infamous when he's walking down the street and you're just kind of there and you see it. And every once in a while, a presidential motorcade goes by or something. So, not much, not de facto invitations, maybe, but not not anything specific. No.
We're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, the Vincent Van Gogh of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, masterpiece that just is not appreciated during its time. I'm
100
too
years
far
from
ahead
now.
Of my time. I'm too far ahead of my time.
You're ahead of your time. Hey, let's talk about the place coming up at Bethpage Black and the FedEx Cup playoffs. We talked last time, you and I, and it seems like we haven't gone too long between, certainly once we got past the Masters, it hasn't been too long between pretty major events coming up, major tournaments in the Olympics, and now the FedEx Cup playoffs, and of course Ryder Cup around the corner. I know that you love the playoffs. You excited about the FedEx Cup playoffs? It's the start of the...
Yeah, because, I think it's a time where you get all these top players together, and they have at it. And whoever performs the best, you know, 4 or 5 weeks from now is the guy to hoist that cup and gets that big check. So the playoff format was always designed to get all these top players together, aside from the majors, late in the season. There's a lot going on now. I mean, you know, with the baseball trending down to the playoffs and football about to start and all that, And the importance of these events have been, I mean, now 10 years into it, I think they get ramped up. And this week you get, you know, a course that is a beast in Bethpage Black. So you get a major championship-style course, all these top players kind of being on the course and playing with each other. You know, the way they set things up, the top guys are playing alongside. So you kind of just throw everybody into the ring, and you know, it's like a golf battle royale, you know, in essence. And they kind of all, you know, it's what it is. I mean, they're kind of just like, let's throw them all together on a great course, see what happens. I mean, that's what you get. And you know, a couple of guys are going to be tossed outside the ropes early, you know, in wrestling parlance. But yeah, you know, it is good. And this is, and the other thing is with these playoffs, and it's specifically designed to be these, it's big city golf, you know. I mean, it's New York, it's Boston this year, Indianapolis sometimes, you know, Chicago sometimes. So it's these big events in big places, and, you know, and it finishes up in Atlanta, obviously, every year. But it is a big deal. And I think, you know, we've talked about this during the broadcast, is that the, you know, we're 10 years into it, so everybody's used to what you need to do and kind of now FedEx Cup points and all this stuff. And we had these guys in the bubble in recent weeks, and a lot of the veteran guys, Johnson Wagner, players like that, got it done. They knew where they stood. But the young generation, the up-and-coming guys, they're, you know, 21-year-old Siwoo Kim won last week. But, you know, Fowler, Spieth, these guys, that this is all they've known, really. You know, even when they, quote, grew up watching golf. It wasn't that long ago, but these playoffs. So that's the other thing. Now, you're getting into the generation of players that this is all really, as they've kind of grown into the game and become professionals, this is this playoff format. It's not foreign to them. It's not unusual to them, because this is kind of what, okay, well, you need to play well during the season. You get into the four events and probably have to win at least one when they get there. I mean, they're used to this format. So I'm not going to say they embrace it more, but I think this is more the norm for them, and this is kind of 10 years into it, what we got going forward now.
It seems too like the cream does rise to the top. There have been a few surprises, I guess, if you look at the success during the FedEx Cup playoff. Billy Horschel, surprise. Maybe Bill Haas, a surprise back a few years ago in 2011. But otherwise, you got Snedeker, and you got Tiger Woods and Furyk, and of course Spieth last year. It does seem like this does kind of cut the wheat from the chafe. I mean, you get the guys that really come through when it's all said and done, and they get to the end. It's rare that you're going to see a guy, and I'm just throwing out names here, but that you're going to see a Danny Lee even, or a Jerry Kelly, Ryan Palmer kind of guy win this thing. It does show that survival is pretty strong, and the best guys normally, or at least the top 10 kind of guys, normally end up holding that trophy when it's all said and done.
Well, they do, because, I mean, and this is what, like all other sports, I mean, this is set up kind of the same way, where, and this was, you know, tough early on for a lot of guys who had a great year, and then you get to the playoffs. If you don't get it done in the playoffs, you know, the first couple of years, Tiger won twice, Vijay won twice. If you don't get it done, well, it's a great year, but at the end, there's the season-long title, now the FedEx Cup title, the payoff wasn't there. But that's what playoffs are about. And the good thing about, in all other sports, you know, people love underdogs, and they like seeing the last seeded team or the wild card team make a run. Someone get hot at the right time, which is what happened a few years ago when Stenson got hot at the right time, started playing well late in the season, continued it in the playoffs. Horschel kind of hanging on for an event or two, and then, you know, wins, bang, bang, and you win it. And that's what can happen in other sports. Now, it also has to be set up to where the best players have the advantage. Like in another sport, you have home field advantage. Well, in this, you know, setup, your top five, you control your own destiny. You know, you win and nobody can catch you at the end of the year at the Tour Championship. So those things have to be in place. And that's why I think it's a good setup. Because like you said, if you look at the list of winners, you look at the FedEx Cup champs, you just look at the winners, you know, in the playoffs. Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, Rory McIlroy twice in 2012. Tigers won this thing twice. So it does reward the top players, but there's no guarantees. You know, if the NCAA tournament is not as exciting when there's no upset, when there's not an underdog or a dark horse or Cinderella. And this format, It's tough to do, especially if you're way back in points. You have to have a great run, but it's possible. It's anybody's got a chance to win, and that's kind of the catch to it and the hook to it, and I think it's been pretty popular.
We're talking with Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, and again, the FedEx Cup playoffs kicking off at the Barclays. Bethpage Black, a New York crowd for sure, Earl. Does that change the atmosphere of a golf tournament having
different... I think, don't you?
We talk about Phoenix, but what do you think about New York crowd? Yeah.
This goes back to they're New York fans. I mean, they expect a lot. I mean, this goes back to the U.S. Open and all that, the heckling of Sergio and all. Yeah, but you know what? Look, I grew up playing when I was in school, my sport was tennis, my individual sport, not golf. I played tennis. So I grew up watching all these things. And this is the time for the U.S. Open coming up now in Flushing, New York. A lot of people don't like that tournament because it's quintessential New York. You know, it's those 11:30 at night, midnight matches. But I grew up watching Jimbo fist pumping like 11:30 midnight, the crowd getting rowdy. I love that. I'm a sports guy, though. You know, I want to see – it's not your typical golf crowd. Let me put it that way. There are golf fans, but it is also a New York sports crowd. I don't mind that. I like it. And, yes, it is it just on the surface, absolutely, it is different. And, you know, the one thing with this is you're looking at all these guys who can win. It'll be interesting to see what Phil does because this, again, goes back to that U.S. Open at Bethpage. Phil is the people's champ in New York. I mean, he is the big boss of the Big Apple. They love him there, and he kind of responds to that stuff, especially more and more, I think, later in his career. He needs that little juice to kind of rev up the engine. I'm curious to see how he does this week because that's one of those guys. This place, you can ride a little bit of emotion. I know golf, you have to try to keep it out as much as you can, but yeah, it is a different place. I think it's a different vibe. That's part of what the whole big city thing I talked about. And, you know, Bethpage is a state park. It's a different place. It's got its own atmosphere. It's got its own vibe. And I think it's had it from the beginning. And I think you're going to see the same thing this week. It's a little different. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't mind it at all.
Why do you think they've taken to Phil so much? Because, and I agree with you that they do, is it the gambler in him, the guy that'll go for broke, and that attracts the New York kind of gutsy sports crowd that pulls for the Yankees, Mets, whatever? Because he's not a New York guy. He's obviously a West Coast, Arizona guy. But is it his attitude you think they like?
Oh, yeah, I think it's all part of it. There's no doubt. And like I said, they're New York sports fans. I mean, we know Giants fans, Yankee fans, like you said. I mean, and I love that. I love that aspect of it. And I think that they do. And, you know, from the beginning, when again, going back to when Bethpage started becoming, you know, a major championship course and everything, I think Phil was one of those guys that embraced that, too. You know, he was, you know, I'm not saying he did this, but, you know, it's like the guy walks on the court or walks on the field and, you know, raises the hands. He wants the crowd to be there. And I think he was one of those guys, one of the few early that embrace that kind of difference, and yet it's kind of more of a baseball game vibe than a golf tournament vibe. And I think that love affair started then because they kind of latched on to him. He was a big name, obviously, and so I think early on, in that time, especially maybe a lot of the fans that showed up were just sports fans. They're not necessarily golf fans, so they know Phil. They do Tiger. They do like the big names, and Phil kind of embraced that. And I think from then on, it was like, you know, I feel you guys, you feel me. And, you know, it was a marriage, I think, a perfect marriage from the beginning. I think that's more the reciprocal effect of it. He kind of embraced that vibe as well. And I think that was a big part of it.
So Mickelson opens up on Thursday, first round, 8:15 Eastern time. He plays with Patrick Reed and Kevin Na. And staying on that same theme about Mickelson, and let's see how he does in this. And we were talking about his stats that he's doing very, very well statistically on the tour. Hasn't really closed a deal an awful lot of times. But Earl, playing with Patrick Reed might be somebody that would team him up with in the Ryder Cup. I think Patrick Reed and Phil Mickelson play off each other. I think that's a really good matchup for both those guys, a good pairing for both of them to feed off each other to start the Barclays.
Yeah, you would think. And again, like you said, you know, you mentioned the Ryder Cup. That's on the line this week, at least for the automatic qualifiers for the players to secure their spots. So, you know, all that comes into play. And you know, the Phil thing, and I'm glad we, you know, kind of started talking about it, because you got the guys, you know, sitting right there. You know, Phil Mickelson, terrific season, hasn't won. Patrick Reed, terrific season, hasn't won. Kevin Na, 7, 8, 9. You know, they're the highest guys. And they're only trailing players who have won. I mean, in case of guys like Jason Day three times and Dustin Johnson, you know, a couple in a major. And so these guys, to be where they are, and we were talking a little about this last week with non-contention, to be as high as they are without wins, you know, ahead of a lot of guys that do have wins this year. So those are terrific seasons for all of them. And you got to think it's a matter of time. I mean, before one of them breaks through, and this gets back to the playoff format now. If you're going to have to be patient and wait for a win, well, this is the time to do it. I mean, because these wins, and I know all wins are important, but when it comes to winning the FedEx Cup, these are a lot more important than, you know, maybe getting one early in the year. You get that early in the year one or middle of the year, you get you in, but you got to win when you get in. And I think you're right. And that I think that's part of the way they set this up and all these guys, you know, in order basically playing alongside of each other. You can either, you know, put pressure on a guy you need to pass, or in that case, I think you're right, that with Reed Mickelson, certainly those two out of the three, and then Kavanaugh alongside. It's one of those where you get, you know, kind of a lot of familiarity there, and it could be good for you to help give you, you know, in their case, the impetus maybe to break through here and get that first playoff win. And, you know, momentum feeds even more, especially this time of year. We've seen it. I talked earlier about guys getting on a roll. And I think that's sure. The other thing, like other sports now, where it seems sometimes, and we do see guys getting the hot stretches in golf, but I think we have seen in now into its 10th year that there is playoff momentum for all these players. And the reality is, yeah, especially if you're not in safely inside that top 30 or top 15 or top 10, you have to keep playing well to keep moving on, because these cuts come pretty quickly from 125 to 170 and then to 30. So, you know, you don't have much time. And I think maybe more so than not throughout the continuous year in golf, when we get to the playoffs, we have seen, like similar to other sports, where there is some playoff momentum, and then you get on a roll at the right time, and it could pay off big time, you know, at the end of the month in Atlanta for you.
Well, we'll all be looking forward to it. It, again, starts on Thursday. Barclays, Bethpage Black, start of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and all the big boys back in action. And it's a long road, but we'll see at the end. It's a great time of the year for the PGA Tour and for golf fans to be able to watch this. We'll be listening, Earl, to everything throughout the playoffs for you. Have a great tournament. Have a great FedEx Cup playoffs. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again very soon. We didn't get a chance to talk about your Nats or your Redskins. We'll do that next time, okay?
No, I'm just hoping during the phone call no one else went on the DL for the Nats. You never know at this point.
You never know. You never know.
But we're gearing up for the playoffs, so they start this week. I've been promising it for weeks to people, and it, like you said a little while ago, it comes quickly, and now it's here, and it's going to go quickly. So.
All right, Earl. Take care. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. You too. Bye.
All right. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio. Let's take a quick break near the bottom of the hour here. We're going to come back, and when we do, Laura Bryant will be joining us. And she'll let us know not only about her phenomenal singing career, but also about what she's got going on as a radio host and all her dealings with the troops and the patriotic theme that is Laura Bryna. We'll talk to her when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you. This is Wednesday, the 24th of August, the day before my daughter's birthday. So I'll make that announcement. So in case I forget to tell her tomorrow, I have covered myself and I've got to record it so I can show her that I remembered her birthday the day early. Joining us now is our good friend Laura Bryna, entertainer out in Los Angeles and living in Los Angeles and a great singer. Also radio talk show host. She's done a lot of radio work for the last several years, and a new segment that we're going to have on Golf Talk America, be part of also the Golf Talk America radio network on PGA Tour Radio, called That's America to Me. She'll be interviewing different people from different walks of life, some celebrities, some military people, some just fascinating people that are all over this great country. Laura, thanks so much for being with us. How are you doing this morning?
Thanks for having me. Doing great.
Very good to hear.
I love the sunny weather in LA, you know, although we could use some rain.
Yes, you could use a lot of rain with all the fires that are kind of going on in the greater Los Angeles area. But, yeah, you guys, hopefully we'll be getting some rain pretty soon to And
yeah,
I know what
I
it's like.
I mean, wish we could be taking the rain from Louisiana. You know, it's so devastating what's been going on over there. And
it's kind of amazing, isn't it? Sometimes how literally from drought to the opposite, and not that far away. It's not like it's another part of the world.
Right.
But yeah, one gets too much rain, the other doesn't have any rain at all. Some real problems. So anyway, hopefully you're not in the path of any of that stuff, are you, Laura?
Well, it's actually interesting because I've never been here in LA when there have been the fires. I've obviously because I travel so much. But I actually walked out of my house a couple weeks ago, and I thought it had rained or it had snowed because there was so much ash all over the car, and it had this, you know, that fiery smell like a leftover fire that had just burned out. And, you know, it's just so devastating. I mean, whether it's an earthquake or rain or a fire, I mean, it's devastating. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have lost their homes in Louisiana. I mean, this is such a tragedy. And you know, we just want the families to know that we're praying for them and thinking about them. And, you know, and here in L.A., I mean, people lose their homes and livestock and pets and whatever it may be during a fire. It's just absolutely awful. So our thoughts go out to everybody in Louisiana for sure. So
sure, yeah. No, hopefully it's going to be getting better before it gets worse, and all these tragedies. We'll stop having to watch the news and lead stories. Always some tragedy that's happening. It'd be nice. If there was an occasional good story to lead the news.
Absolutely,
it doesn't seem to happen very often. Hey, so Laura, tell us about That's America to Me. What's your plan? What do you think to do with this segment and this show that you're going to?
Well, creating? I'm so excited to be joining you guys and joining the Golf Talk America family and PGA Tour. It's just radio. It's just amazing. And I mean, here's a little girl from Mount Airy, Maryland, which I'm a huge Nats and Redskin fan. Hello. And yes, we are praying for them to go to the playoffs and whatnot. But anyway, you know, it's really an honor for a girl with a dream who now gets to do her own radio show. It's really great to join you all. So, but it's great. We're going to be interviewing lots of different walks of life, from people from entertainers to lifestyle experts to people who love the military to people who love playing golf. So it's kind of a little bit of everything and just giving everybody a touch of what goes on in the world and from all different walks of life. So we're just excited and you know, you got to come on. You got to come on.
Yeah,
and
I'd
listen,
love to. You know? I'd love to come on. I'd love to be able to do it.
We need to interview you and find out what really makes you tick.
Really? Yeah. The world is dying to know.
The world is dying to know.
I said this show more and more becomes a telenueva. So, I mean, what's the word?
Novella.
Novella. Hello. See, I don't watch him. I don't watch him. But, yeah, with Frank and all his housing issues and me with the issues you don't even want to start to talk about.
Yeah. I have a housing issue, too.
Oh, you do? What's your housing issue?
Well, yeah, it's beautiful.
No, not that. The people across the street. Yeah, but wait, Frank. Since you've been here, people across the street have, like, raised the roof, quote unquote. And it's, like, now kind of killing the view. So,
No.
That should be our only problem, but I'm just saying.
You're looking at a large, gorgeous home, all glass, at the Hollywood sign across the valley there. It's on the hill, other side. She's on Mount Olympus, so it's on the other side.
So when you said they raised the roof, I thought you meant like they were having parties. Literally, they raised the height of their house.
They raised the roof. Yeah, no, they raised the roof. Yeah, somehow it got approved. So, and they're like, it's going to make the house worth so much more. And I'm like, yeah, but what about the people behind it? It's going to depreciate the rest of us. So
nobody cares about that part, right?
Right, of course. But that should be the least of our worries.
We're with Laura Bryna, and you do an awful lot of stuff with the military. And tell me what the genesis of that is. What family in the military? Why is the military kind of near and dear to you? Not that it shouldn't be, but why is it near and dear to you?
You know, it's D, all of the above, kind of everything. My grandfather's been in the military. You know, my dad, Roger, who was a part of Golf Talk America, my manager too, was in the military. You know, I just love what these men and women stand for, and any way that I can give back is what I need to do. I mean, whether they past, present, or future. I mean, these men and women give their time 24/7, 365 days a year to allow us to live in freedom. And again, I wouldn't be living my dream and I wouldn't be doing this show if it wasn't for them. And so for me, it's a way to give back and help them, whether it's through a song or doing a radio show like this. I mean, it's a way to get out there what these people do. And I don't think they really get the the thanks that they deserve. I mean, and people don't realize that they don't love going to war. That's not what they want to do. I mean, they have families, they have friends that they want to come home to, but they love their country and they want to protect the people that are in it. And the military provides so many great things. I mean, from insurance to shelter to education. I mean, there's so many wonderful benefits that it provides. And my job is not to tell people to protest or the war or whatnot, or whether you like it or not, or whatever the case may be. My job is to let people know why they can. And I stand behind these men and women with whatever they do. And I want to help them and let people know what they're doing and how they really are the unsung heroes of this country.
We're being joined by singer Laura Brina. And Laura, so in today's pop music, if you will, let's talk about the females. I'm curious about what you think. I'm not going to age you, but I think you're over 21. So there's a lot of young talent out there. A couple years past that, yeah. You just got out of your sorority.
I did.
Who do you like? Who do you like in today's younger music, if you will, like the under 30 kind of crowd? Do you like their music at all? Do you think there's some talent there, or is it mostly, I hate to say it, but is it mostly just like flash? Is it a Kardashian kind of thing that they make headlines, but not always for the right reasons?
Wait, but I love their eye makeup. you know,
really, the Kardashians wear makeup? I hadn't noticed.
Oh my God, you're hideous.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
No, you know what? Music is changing, and I love that it's changing. I think that's the one thing that I loved working with Peter Asher, is that, you know, yes, even though he's been somebody, he's older, but he has changed with the times. Like, he hasn't stayed a one-trick pony. Like, he evolves, and I think music's evolving. I mean, now we have downloading, we have other ways for people to get their music out there as opposed to just the traditional record label way. Whether you like it or not, it is changing. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of cool talent out there. I think, I mean, obviously, yeah, there's some cookie cutter things as well, but, you know, there's great music, and I'm a fan of all kinds of music. I think that's what has made me. I think by listening to different kinds of music, whether it's Renee Fleming to Wynonna Judd to Elvis Presley, whatever. I mean, that's what makes you, and you kind of smushy, for lack of a better word. Yes, it's in the Webster Dictionary. The kind
it
of
is
thing,
now.
And you can use it whenever you like. Don't worry, I'll let
okay, thank
it to you.
You.
The smushy.
Thank you.
And I will expect you to use it. but I think that's what makes you, and you. Everybody's evolving by listening to people who've come before them.
Well, I mean, and specifically, I'm curious about, you know, I like the show The Voice, and Miley Cyrus is now on The Voice.
Right.
And I'm not sure how I feel about Miley Cyrus. I'm curious. So I'm going to put you on the spot about a particular person, because while I think she's got more talent and more on the ball than I kind of thought she did before when she's helping these artists and advising them, whatever, she's still kind of goofy. You know, and kind of weird, and she obviously dresses very bizarre, and that's okay, cool, it's what they have to do. What do you think about Miley?
Well, here's the thing. She's kind of, whoever's behind it, whether it's her or her team, whatever, there's some marketing genius going on there. She got, I mean, to do whatever crazy or whatnot, whether you like her or not, or you think she's talented. And actually, she really, I mean, if you go back, there is some, I mean, she is very talented. There, if you listen to some of her beginning stuff, I mean, even some of the country things that she's done, I mean, there's some really raw, some real raw talent there with Miley Cyrus. But somebody's definitely a marketing genius in there. I mean, the reason you're talking about is because she dressed weird, or she,
sure,
you know, that,
or photos she's taken,
or a photo, you know, she's taken, or something she stuck her, yeah, tongue out on television, right, in a magazine, da, 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 da. I mean, the fact that we're talking about it, something's going right.
She's mushy.
It's not mushy. It's smushy. You got to add an S.
She's smushy. Yeah. That's her marketing genius.
I mean, if you're going to use the terms, darling, you got to use
the
terms.
She's smushy.
You can't mess it up.
We're talking with Laura Brina. Doing the radio stuff versus the music part, which probably comes more naturally to you and more comfortable to you. But
either way, you're in a studio. You're talking. You're in front of a microphone. Do you enjoy doing the radio part? You like being on the other side and asking questions?
I do. You know what? I love it. I think it also gives you the insight of, you know, being on both sides of the microphone. You know, you really get to understand the whole thing and how it works about interviewing and you know, what is it that people want to hear? What do they want to know? What makes Laura Bryna tick? So I think I find it really fun. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
Okay, let's break it down to, before I let you go, a little bit of golf. FedEx Cup playoffs coming up right around the corner, and we're all getting excited about that. And I'll ask you about your favorite golfer, but let me first give me two, because we're talking to a woman here, so I think it all matters. Give me two of the better-looking golfers on the PGA Tour. From a woman's standpoint, if you have to watch, okay, it doesn't hurt. Who do you like to watch?
Well, you know, you got to love Phil. He's great.
Phil?
Yeah.
Phil is definitely smushy. Frank and Phil are definitely smushy.
Well, I'll tell you what makes him hot to trot.
Yeah?
Is, you know...
His bank account?
Well...
I'm just guessing.
Timbo, you can't say that. But...
Okay.
No, you know what? I love how supportive he is of his wife and the things that she's been through. And I think that makes him unbelievable. I think that, I mean, you don't even need to go on to somebody else. I think the fact that he stood behind her and loves her unconditionally, and that, you know, they have kids together. I mean, it's a wonderful love story. And I think that shows how strong a love and a bond can be. So to me, I think that's yum on a stick.
Wow. You kind of took that deeper than I was.
Sorry.
I was trying to stay on a very
sorry.
superficial level there, and you got really deep on me, and now I can't even go anywhere with it. So that's okay.
Oh, I'm so
well,
sorry.
Who do you like as a golfer? Who do you hope comes through the FedEx Cup playoffs here? And let's count Phil out, because okay, he's your heartthrob. Let's count Phil out. Who do you hope comes through this holding the trophy at the end of the playoffs?
Oh God, that's hard to say.
You like Spieth?
I was going to say Rory. I would go with him for sure.
Jordan Spieth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I agree with you. I'm a Spieth guy too. Frank's going to go with Snedeker, because he runs into Snedeker sometimes at the dry cleaners, apparently, or something. In Nashville, so Frank will go with Snedeker.
No, right, yeah.
You and I,
right? No.
You and I will.
No, no, no.
You and
no,
I will
no,
go with
no.
this
I'm Phil.
No,
I'm going with Phil. I'm going with Phil.
Oh, you are?
I'm with
because
Phil.
He's smushy.
I think he's got. No, that's not my reasoning behind it. I can tell you that. But
monster.
Phil's hot. He's on a roll. He's got the lowest scoring average of any player without a win this year. I mean, not without a win. He has the lowest scoring average going into the FedEx Cup
for everybody. Amazing.
I'm with Phil. And New York loves Phil Mickelson. He loves New York and New Jersey. And it's going to be fun to watch Beth Page Black eat up a lot of players, because the boys are going to spray and pray with the long drives there are in for some real trouble in that rough that they have around that golf course.
And we'll see how they all come out of Bethpage, because they're in New York for a little bit, but then, of course, they go to Boston area and then Indianapolis area, northern Indiana, for the BMW, which we will be at, and you will be doing the show live from there coming up. So you'll be able to see Phil up close and personal and bestow upon him the love of you and Laura that you both have.
Roger's Roger Sarchet, Laura's manager.
Has a signed flag.
He does. I got Phil to sign a flag for him, and Phil did. He
nice.
Roger's a veteran, and I told him a little bit about Roger, and he said, "Get me a flag. I'll sign that for him." Phil's a great guy. He's just a great guy. It's going to be a heck of a playoff. I mean, here we go. Deutsche Bank and Bethpage Black, and oh my God, it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
it's only
Laura, by the way, before we get out of here, while we've got Tim with us too, that's America to me. I think you're meeting with somebody this week that you have an interview coming up with that'll be on the show.
I am, actually.
As a teaser.
Am I
allowed
to tease in?
And you're going to interview him. This is going to be good.
Yes.
She's going to interview the interviewer extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire, for real. He's the quintessential interviewer. I'm actually meeting with Larry King on Friday.
So, nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
So we're meeting at his bagel place, which, you know, they fly in. It's the Brooklyn Water Bagel. He's one of the investors in there. And so they actually fly the water in from Brooklyn because they say it makes the bagels better.
Come on.
For real.
Brooklyn water?
Come on, this is Wawa. You know.
There's something special about water in Brooklyn?
It's the cleanest water
just
in the country.
Dumped it on Simi Valley. They put out the fire.
What won't people buy? I have nothing against his bagels, but what won't people buy if they're going to start saying it's the special Brooklyn water that makes them taste so good? Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Lord. They fly
Not
in.
Crystal clear Colorado water. Right? Nothing like that. Nothing out of the mountains. No Brooklyn. Get it right out of the East River.
Yeah, but you know when I've had breakfast with him before, he always has Cheerios and blueberries. And he's like, oh, Laura, have a bagel. I'm like, but why aren't you having one?
Good point. I'm trying to watch
Cheerios,
his carbs.
Cheerios look like a bagel. They look like
little bagels. Well, Laura,
I'm like huge sitting next to him, by the way. So.
Yeah, he's not a big guy.
No.
No.
But he's
no.
so nice. He is so nice and so philanthropic. So, you know.
I'm curious.
And by the way, Laura's going to be interviewing him on the show for us. But you have a special guest coming up this Friday, too, that we need to tease about. And that's going to be golfer extraordinaire and really funny guy. Steve Elkington is coming on the show with you this week. So that's
right.
Be cool.
Steve Elkington will be with us on Friday. So we got to make
Friday,
sure stick around and listen to the wanderings of Steve Elkington. He is a very entertaining guy. Obviously a very, very good golfer in his time. So, yeah, it will be – that's what you get here on Golf Talk America. You don't know what you're going to get, but that's what you get. It's always something. You go from Steve Elkington to Laura Bryna to Earl Forsey and a segment with our man, King. God, why did I lost his name?
King Soon boy. To be Larry King. King, yeah.
Larry King, there you go.
No
Sorry.
Worries, darling.
Thanks so much. So
it
that's
happens.
Pretty cool. We got all this stuff going on. Larry King is going to be really neat. Larry King is, I know he's an older guy, and I think he's pushing 85 or somewhere in there.
He's 83, yeah.
83, yeah. He's interviewed anybody that you'd want to interview probably over the last 50 years.
Right.
He's had him. He's talked
sure.
to him. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that's a heck. I don't know how you're going to keep that to whatever segment you're going to do, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
I know.
Minutes.
I have no idea.
You could talk to that guy for hours, couldn't you? Yeah.
Right.
You could talk to him for hours.
Oh, sure. I mean, and even if you look at his biography, you're just sitting there you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Like,
yeah.
he's done everything
yeah.
to anything. And, you know, and there's ups and downs and all the different kinds of things, but... But yeah,
and he's a very big sports fan, too.
Huge.
He's talked to presidents and politicians and all kinds, but he's a huge
loves
sports fan.
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
He
so
loves.
He's talked to from Ali to, fascinating. I envy you. That should be a lot of fun to talk to Larry King.
Join in.
No, that's okay. I'm not trying to horn in on your little deal. No, no. Have at it.
Horn
I'm just
in,
saying
horn
it.
In. This is a family affair. We can do it.
It's going to be horn in, please. Please, horn
Everybody's
in.
Doing
no, it's
it.
Going to be fun.
Everybody's doing it.
Yes, everybody. Laura, we do appreciate your time. Thanks so much. I apologize on behalf of your neighbor that you're losing some of your view
nice.
Out there.
It is nothing maybe, compared to what's going on in Louisiana, so...
Yeah, so it's not nearly the tragedy there, but still unfortunate. But it is better still, even with the house being built up across the street from me, better than Frank's view underneath the bridge in Nashville that Frank's living
gosh.
In. Yes.
I love Frank's. My home. My Kenmore refrigerated box is perfect. I love it.
He's got side-by-side boxes from Maytag. Yeah, he's got a nice little village you're building down there under the bridge. So anyway.
You've got a range in your closet, so there.
I do. I seriously got a range in my closet, yeah, that I can cook whatever I want to cook. It's in a box, but, yeah, I got a...
I've had the fire department to my house twice, so...
Because you had fires or you're
because
worried
I
about something?
I can't cook.
I got you. There you go. Sorry. I was tying it back into the forest fires in California. Yeah.
In
okay,
fact,
yeah.
my neighbors in Nashville said, "Laura, please don't ever cook. We'll set a place at our table for you every night if you won't cook."
Save the neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't cook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Laura, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. We look forward to That's America to Me as a segment and soon to be show here on the Golf Talk America Network. And continued success with your career and your interviews and whatnot coming up. And again, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, and I'm so excited. I can't wait.
I am too. Laura Brina with us, and we appreciate it. So much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Take care. All right, that should about wrap things up. Frank, anything else going on? You're excited about the FedEx Cup playoffs. They're getting started here in just less than a day. And tomorrow morning they'll be teeing things up at the Barclays. And it's week after week. They'll have a little bit of a break in between there. The break is between the Deutsche Bank and the BMW, I believe. Is that right?
It is, yes.
I think they have a break in there. But otherwise, it's going to be...
No. The break is between the... BMW
and the Tour.
The Tour Championship. BMW Tour Championship. And that's the week that we'll be in Chicago with Luke Donald at Medina Country Club. Luke Medina. Donald Wine. He's having big wine tasting. And he's a big wine guy, has his own vineyard and own wine, whatever.
Site of a very unfortunate Ryder Cup a few years back.
Yes.
That the U.S. seemed to have in hand. And then lost it. Last time, Davis Love was the captain, as a matter of fact, right? And did not go as it should have gone. It was also, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it also the Ryder Cup where Rory only barely made it to the tee because some PJ official woke him out of his bed, which should never have happened. They should have let him sleep. He'd still be sleeping.
Sleep.
Yeah, why give him a point?
And a police escort.
And he got a police escort. And he made his tee time. Wasn't it, am I right, Frank, like by 15 minutes or something? Within 15 minutes, he would have been disqualified or something.
It was tighter than that, I believe. I don't know the exact number, but it was very tight to the point that he just ran to the tee box. I mean, slapped his shoes on.
Put his shoes on in the car. Box. Yeah.
Yeah. That was it.
And hit it. No warm-up. And they said hit like a 300-yard drive down the middle. Yeah. Which, because I remember commenting, saying, well, so much for those two-hour warm-ups that all these players think they have to have. Because he was in bed like 30 minutes before, and he just rips one down the middle and played actually a pretty good round. So, yeah, that was all Medina. So, good for you. Could be kind of cool.
I would tell all of our listeners, go to PGAtour.com and watch these playoffs. Watch the stats. Really dig down deep and look at the stats. You have a very, very, very tight race. Outside of the points, very, very tight race, given the quality of play that we've had this year. It's been phenomenal, and it's been an incredible year. I mean, we're still not finished. We've got a Ryder Cup to end the season, and then, bam, right into the wraparound season. So it's golf's in one of the best places I think it's been in a long, long time.
And a very open race, if you will, for Player of the Year. I think it's very open. I don't think it's among 12 guys, but certainly Henrik Stenson might have the inside track. But depending on what happens in these playoffs, could have a huge impact on who the Player of the Year is going to be. So I don't remember it being this kind of wide open going into the playoffs in a number of years. So that adds some of the drama and excitement to it as well. So,
I hope that Stenson as well as Justin Rose will be at the BMW and have their, because I want a picture with their medals with them. And they'll do it.
You think they travel with their medals? I don't think that.
Stenson had it in his pocket. He handed it during his interview this week. He handed it to the media, to the journalists.
Really?
The media guys.
Maybe he will. Maybe
they've asked him to look at it.
Maybe they've asked him to bring it around or something like that, because I sure wouldn't have. I mean, I'd be putting that thing in a safe deposit box somewhere. It's been 100 years since somebody's had a golf medal, so I'd treasure that little.
Yep.
If they're going to take it, you get a picture with them. That'd be pretty neat. So
you bet.
All on our website. Send it out on our Twitter feed. All that social media stuff that Frank and I are so big on.
Oh yeah.
Enough about. Frank and me and Miley, we're so big on social media. All right, everybody, we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Earl Forsey for being with us, and Laura Brina as well. For Bobby Raymond and Frank Bassett, I am Tim Matthews, and Steve Elkington will be with us on our next show Friday, so be sure to tune in for that. Until then, this is Tim Matthews for Golf Talk America. Have a great day.